And welcome to another Mysterious Mini, the weekly minisode where we tell you all about new book releases and events happening in-store and online. I'm your host, Becca.
And I'm Gary.
And look, we're doing it on time. We're here.
We're both together here.
We've been together in this moment.
Sick on and off the last couple weeks and just have had conflicting schedules. And
it's been rough. I blame our manager, Kelly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Kelly did have a cold.
She had a cold, and we both had a meeting with her in her closed, like, office, and then both got sick.
That's true.
Even though we got sick different. Like, I blame Kelly. Kelly, if you're listening, you gotta take this one for the team.
She's gonna start by throwing her under the bus.
Perfect. All right. We should just jump into it, because we have a lot of events to get through, and then we can chit-chat.
Yeah, it's a new month, so there's a ton of events and a ton of books, and...
Yes, oh my god, happy July.
It's July.
Happy Comic-Con at Home month.
Oh my goodness, that's also this month. Ah!
Yes, it is. We're gonna have so much exciting stuff happening just all over the place. Personally, I can say that we have some exciting stuff coming from the Patreon, so if you haven't joined that, I really recommend joining, because it's going to be for everyone, even at the $3 a month tier. Like, everyone
That's
is
going
to be getting this one special gift. And then we'll have some other stuff happening, too.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then, of course, all the stuff that, you know...
The store is going to be doing for...
Of course.
We haven't even announced anything that we're doing yet. I know of a couple of books that we're getting in large quantities, and I know that we have some book plates coming for some exclusive stuff, but, like, even I don't have all the details. I think Kelly's been hammering all that out, like, this week, so...
Yeah, no, we don't know too much of anything.
It'll be nice when it happens. When y'all find out, we are also finding out and losing our minds about it, I promise.
Yeah, we wouldn't keep anything from you unless we legally have to.
Fair. That is fair.
And then we would hide it from you. But, like, if you're mad about that, it sounds like a personal problem.
We should talk about events.
I guess so. You mean that our listeners don't like it when I get...
When we sit and banter? We could banter. We could keep bantering.
Oh, I thought that you meant that our listeners wouldn't like it if we were, like, accusing them of stuff.
Oh, no. What?
I mean, yeah. before I forget... No, I'll do it at the end of the episode. Never mind.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I was going to thank our patron, but we
only have
two new ones. Yeah.
Cool. Tonight, July 6th at 7 o'clock, Laura Sebastian is going to be in conversation with Alexandra Bracken. Laura's talking about her new book, Half Sick of Shadows, which we are going to have signed book plates available for.
And, of course, Alexandra Bracken is the author of Lore, speaking of Kelly and things that Kelly loves.
I think we did an event with Alexandra for Lore when Lore came out also. So it's nice to have her back, like, promoting other new authors' books. Like, that's
I'm really excited for this event. Star Wars book that Bracken wrote, A New Hope, The Princess, The Scoundrel, and The Fondler, is on my TBR list, so... I'm excited about that. And then I've heard so many good things about Ash Princess by Laura Sebastian. I just used it for an upcoming TikTok we're going to be putting up about love triangles.
Nice. That's
because,
exciting.
Yeah, it came up. So now it's on my TBR list as well.
That's awesome. That's tonight. Tomorrow.
We have...
I thought you were going to get into it. I wasn't sure if you were going to say it.
Oh my god, no, I'm sorry.
We're
both
doing this. You
lagged a little bit, so...
Tomorrow, Elizabeth Lim is going to be in conversation with Namina Forna. Elizabeth Lim's new book just came out today, Six Crimson Cranes. I believe we got signed... I think we're doing book plates. Signed and personalized book plates available. We pre-sold a bunch of these books, and we still have about half of our stock left, so if people are still excited, get on that now, because... They are going very quickly.
Yeah, and as I see it, there's also the enamel pin and sign that with the signed book plate while supplies last if you pre-order.
Yep, we're hoping that all of, as of the time of this recording, the swag has not arrived yet.
Yes.
So we're still waiting, but I think that we should have enough for all the orders that have come in so far, as well as several more. I don't know what the limit on this, like what, how much we're actually expecting to get, but we will fulfill as many as possible.
I'm getting one. One, because I'm a slut for enamel pins, but also because the cover is just gorgeous. Like, it got me so pretty. So hard. I was like, wow.
Yeah. I was really glad we got, we like jumped, we went through that first, our first order so quickly. We immediately were like, we need to like double this.
Yes. And then on the, oh gosh, what is it? On Thursday.
Yeah.
We have, Max Berry in conversation with David Yoon, discussing, Max's book, The 22 Murders of Madison May.
I'm very excited about
it. Isn't this one of your picks for
this? This is one of my picks for this week.
Do you want to talk about it?
Yeah, we can talk about it now if you want to. I was going to save it until we do. Let's talk about it. Max Berry, who a couple years ago had, well, so I've not read Lexicon. Lexicon was the first one that I think a lot of people know of when they talk about Max Berry stuff. Kellyanne is a really big fan of that one. Okay. I read his book Providence that came out, I think, 2 years ago now, which was about first contact with an alien species. And it was incredible. I really, really enjoyed it. They talked a lot about like sentience, and they had this, the ship they were traveling on, the Providence, was like run by an AI that was meant to protect itself and the ultimate defense against this alien invasion that they're fighting against. It was fascinating.
Yeah, I'm not personally familiar with Max Berry, but I am familiar with David Yoon, and that's what I was really excited about when I saw.
Yeah.
When I saw this, because I was like, well, I want to hear him talk to somebody that he's interested in, and that got me to like pick up this book and be like, well, what's going on here?
Yeah. This one is about a serial killer that pursues his victim across space and time.
Yeah, that's I was so excited.
He in the like back of the book description, one of the quotes from this character, the serial killer character, is, "I love you in every world." And then he's murdering her. He's traveling from like timeline to timeline, murdering this woman. And there, it's about like, the reporter who's reporting on the murders, Felicity Staples, who's a journalist who's trying to like track down what's really going on here, that gets like wrapped up in the encounter with this mysterious villain.
Can I just say something that I know is controversial? Why do villain characters have to have like the most romantic lines I've ever heard in my life? Like,
it's,
if somebody said that to me, I would like melt into the ground. But obviously the context here is like no good. It's bad.
Yeah, this is possessive love. This is this is like destructive.
But also like a little bit of possessive love is fun.
That's fair.
I mean, I have Kylo Ren's lightsaber tattooed on me. We all know how I feel about
it. I think Nick passion. Was it Nick who asked me this at work yesterday? I think Nick asked me at work yesterday, if you, is a serial killer a serial killer if they're only ever killing the same person?
Yes. He asked specifically if a serial killer is a serial killer if they're going through space and time and only killing the same person.
I think they're still a serial killer.
Well, like, the answer I had was like, well, it depends on the context in this fictional space of how space and time is like attached, right?
Okay.
Because like, is it the type of world where every version of you is connected to the other versions of you? And so it is killing the same person over and over again with the ultimate end of like, you know, erasing them from existence. Or is it like a completely separate multiverse sort of theory where like, they couldn't be more separated as beings. Like, they just happen to be the same.
I think either way, they're still serial killers, right? And here's how I'm gonna,
body count wise.
Well, yeah. No. I mean, like, even if it was the same person, right? Like, what if someone was traveling back through time? He was murdering a person. And they travel a little further back in time, and then they murder them sooner in the timeline.
That's fair. I was thinking about in the context of,
like, those are still two separate murders of the same person on the same timeline. I think that still counts as serial murder.
Gary, if we're talking about timelines, we have to accept that time is a fabrication, and there is no past, present, or future. It is all present, right? There is no past or future. There's only now. Like, and now, 10 seconds ago, is still now in its own sense, right?
Yeah.
So, like,
okay, Dr. Manhattan.
What? I'm just, So you're gonna sit here and call me Dr. Manhattan?
No, I mean, like, I'm just, that's the easiest pull of, like, what character do I know that, like, you know, sees what? The world this
Humans
way?
Humans bore me. I've had enough of this planet. I'm out of here.
On Friday?
I'm gonna go hang out with Ray from Neon Genesis.
Fair. That's fair.
Oh my god.
On Friday, we have the next of the Escondido Public Library's pop culture panel series. This time they're talking to kids about kids' graphic novels and comics.
I'm excited.
Yeah. Kazu
Kibuishi.
Kibuishi, thank you. I don't know how to say any of these names.
Do you want me to do it?
Please.
Okay. We have Kazu Kibuishi discussing his book Amulet. We have Mike Myhack discussing Cleopatra in Space. And Chad Sell with The Cardboard Kingdom.
Yeah. I read the first couple issues of Amulet and really, really enjoyed it. I would like to get back into that series.
Yeah, it's really fun.
It's so good. Cleopatra in Space, I've also heard good things about.
Yeah, I haven't actually heard of this one before. I'm really excited because, you know what, I saw it in our like kids section, I think.
Yeah.
The other day when I was helping out somebody, because I remember looking at the cover and being like, wow, that one girl is really serving Daphne's hair, and like, I love it.
That's awesome.
I'm excited about this book, though.
Yeah, I'm excited about this book. I'm excited about Cardboard Kingdom. All these are, like, really...
I mean, honestly, Escondido Public Library's pop culture panel series it's just been hit after hit. Like,
yeah, that's
it's
true.
It's so good.
They've gotten together such incredible people to talk about, like, the work that they put out, and it's rad.
Yeah, I'm really excited that we've been able to be part of it.
Yeah, so it's gonna be Friday at 1 o'clock Pacific time. Which is kind of early. I think I'm going to be, like, at the store while this event is happening, unfortunately. Oh, so I can't watch it along. But I think they host them on Facebook, which means they should be
they're
able to be watched late.
I believe.
Yeah, I think they're pre-recorded. Uh-huh.
Also, a little bit earlier in the day on Saturday at 2 p.m., we have Neil Sharpson in conversation with Cory Doctorow for Neil's new book, When the Sparrow Falls. And, of course, Cory is the author of Attack Surface.
Yeah, Cory's relatively local and has an incredible output. He's come into the store for a bunch of events for us in the past.
Whereas Neil is absolutely as far away from us as possible in Dublin.
Yep. Yep.
Oh my gosh. I just, like, do you think they're, like, friends? Do you think they know each other? That's usually how these conferences...
These author events happen.
Yeah.
Or they're both, they're both with the same publishing house, maybe.
Okay, that's fair.
But like, I would assume they must be friendly because...
I always sit there and imagine. I'm always like, how do you guys know each other? Like,
this event's at 2 o'clock. This event's at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday, which is like in Dublin, like 9 or 10 p.m.
Yeah.
So like, he's willing to come on like late to do this conversation. So
we know so many people. Across the pond that are
I know
willing to come on at such unreasonable times to talk to us.
It's very nice.
Did we do it? Did we get through all the events?
We've got two more.
Oh my gosh.
Yep.
So many
sorry
events.
Sunday Romance Book Club is meeting again.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. So they're going to be talking about, it is July now, You Had Me at Ola by Alexis Daria.
I've heard nothing but amazing things about that book.
Yeah, same. The reviews have been really, really good. That one came out last August, I think, in hardcover. Or in paperback. I feel like it's been out for a while now. And people have, like, I've heard really good reviews from folks at the store who have read it already. So that should be a fun conversation.
Yeah.
And then on Monday.
Yes.
Chris McKinney is going to be in conversation with Gabino Iglesias talking about his new book, Midnight Water City.
The coolest cover I have seen
it's
in a long
so
time.
Rad. It I don't know anything about this book. The Water
either,
City Trilogy number one.
It looks like it's such a cool combination of like a cyberpunk and also like, I don't know.
It's a sci-fi
underwater?
Noir. Yeah, it says it's a sci-fi noir trilogy exploring the sordid past of a murdered scientist deified in death through the eyes of a man who once committed unspeakable crimes for her. Interesting. Wow. So it takes place, her deep sea home.
That is so sick.
Oh, the scientist's name is Akira. Akira Kimura.
Oh my god, not related, but did you see that they are releasing the manga, like, the manga-based version of the jacket from Akira?
That's cool.
Yeah, so it's not going to have the giant pill on the back, because it doesn't have that in the manga. Very split opinions from the community on that one.
On that one? Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, a lot of people who, I assume, saw the movie first and didn't read the manga slash aren't aware of it.
Sure.
Are very like, no, it's not cool looking if it doesn't have the giant pill.
And whatever. Like, it's fine.
I don't know. I think it looks cool either way.
But yeah.
I do agree with people's criticism that it does kind of look like the Thriller jacket without the pill.
That's also true.
Yeah, it's just
that's also true.
Oh my gosh.
I think that's all of our events this week.
We did it.
We did it.
We beat the events.
There were so many events.
Do you want me to talk about my first pick?
Yeah, go into your first one, because we already talked about my first one.
Awesome. So my first pick for this week is If You Then Me by Yvonne Woon. For fans of When Dimple Met Rishi and Emergency Contact, we have this coming-of-age rom-com. It's set in Silicon Valley in the heart of tech bro heaven. For any of you people out there that are, like, into, like, you know, like, if you know a lot about technology, I feel like you're going to get a satisfying amount of that from this story. Mm. It's from teen author Yvonne Woon, and it follows the life of She, a lonely girl whose only comfort is an AI app that she has designed specifically to answer questions as her future self.
Oh.
I'm not entirely sure how that works, but I'm fascinated. She also has a mysterious online crush who she only knows as Object Permanence, his username. After enrolling at an app incubator, which is like, you know, a place where, are you familiar with that phrase? I had to look it up.
No, I mean, I have an idea of like what companies it is.
That it's like one of those, like a startup type of situation for like prodigies that are like coming up with apps they, like, and stuff.
Someone invests in a bunch of different people and develop them and stuff. That makes sense.
So she becomes enrolled in one of those and realizes that life isn't as lonely as she initially thought. She starts getting dates and causing commotion by standing up for what she believes in and even has a nemesis. And she learns that object permanence might be a lot closer to her IRL than she initially realized.
Oh, shit.
I'm excited. I know I described that mysteriously at the end, but it is a romance.
Yeah. That's interesting. That sounds really cool.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. Also, like, I don't know, something like, I love teen authors, and I'm excited to read a YA book written by someone who's in that demographic.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. That sounds like a lot of fun. My next book is The Empire's Ruin by Brian Staveley. It is the first book in a new trilogy set in the same world as his last trilogy, The Chronicle of the Unhewn Throne. Emperor's Blades, I believe, is the first one of that one. I have not read that series, but my understanding is that from the description this gives, my understanding is that the world in that series was left in ruins, after the events of that trilogy.
Yeah.
The Anurian Empire's disintegrating. The advantages it had to keep in power have fallen to ruin. They're being destroyed from the inside out. And in order to save the Empire, one of these characters must travel beyond the edge of the known world. And there they discover that somewhere deep within the reaches of the Empire, an ancient godlike race has begun to awaken.
You know how it does.
So, like, already things are bad and are getting worse. And we're trying to, like, bring these people together in order to, like, stop the end of the world, but something bigger is coming.
That is so stressful to me. Like,
this is so fantasy. I love this so much.
See, that's why I think you're really gonna like Chainsaw Man, because it's very much got that same sort of, like, wow, this is so much bigger.
It just keeps escalating.
This is so much. Because, like, that's the thing I love about demons.
Yes.
Like, at the end of the day, it's about, like, demons and demon hunters. and yes. like having contracts with demons and blah blah blah.
Yeah,
and
this so, is like, exactly I was about to say, like, the thing that I really love about like manga and about anime in general is that like it just keeps escalating bigger.
Yeah, every time that you think that you've like gotten it with like a lot of those action like world building ones.
Yeah, my little sister is watching Naruto for the first time.
Oh my god!
And is texting me has been texting me about it because that was a show that I loved as like a kid.
It's so different now, Gary.
It's so funny because she's getting really excited about like, oh, the Chunin exams are going on, and I'm thinking about like watching the end of Shippuden, being like, he fought like the chakra goddess herself, like. It's...
Sorry, but she is absolutely right to be hype about that, because when Rock Lee takes
oh my God, that
off
fight.
The leg warmers...
Oh, it's so good.
Girl.
That fight is so good. Yeah, it's great.
You know who doesn't get enough appreciation from the original series?
Who?
Tenten.
Tenten is incredible. I love Tenten so much.
I love all of them.
Yeah, I've been thinking, because my sister's rewatching, this is a dangerous place for me to be in, but because my sister's been rewatching and has been texting me about it, every once in a while I'm like, I should just watch this again. But I know there's like 900 episodes.
I've been watching Boruto.
How's that been? I watched a few episodes, but I didn't stick with it. Okay.
I love it. Oh my god, there is an episode, basically about, can I, mild spoiler?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Mild spoilers for anyone watching or interested in watching / reading Boruto, the follow-up series to Naruto about their children. There's an episode where Sasuke and Sakura's daughter like follows him on a mission and ends up like with all of the like, you know, like the like bad guy friends that he has. And like she overhears somebody like say something about how like Sakura like isn't really her mom, and like, but like they did, like it was just out of context, right? But
yeah.
Like, so the whole episode is about her freaking out and trying to like figure out and get a hold of this document like proving if like that red-haired chick is her mom or not.
Uh-huh.
And like it's so sad, and then at the end like Sasuke's like, how could you ever doubt that I love your mother?
Aww,
and
that's
I'm
precious.
Like, oh my god, like, it just made me think about, like, Sakura in, like, the early episodes, and, like, no one ever showed her any kindness.
Yeah. Guy,
I mean,
Naruto
did, but only because he had ulterior motives, you know?
Yeah. I love Naruto so much. I'm so happy that you're here for this mini-sode this week, Becca, because I would not have been talking about Naruto otherwise.
Oh, here's another reason that you should pick up Chainsaw Man.
Yes.
The three main characters, Denji, Power, and Aki, basically have the Sasuke, Naruto, Sakura, like, friendship dynamic.
Okay. All right.
Like, but, like, it's that dynamic, but, you
I
know,
need to
obviously
do this.
Different.
You've been, yeah, you've been pushing me so hard to read this that it has spilled into the podcast, so I'm going
I'm sorry,
to commit.
I just really need to,
I'm
going to
commit.
It.
I'm going
to
do it.
I want our listeners to read it if you're old enough. Like, I just want to specify that nobody in the community can understand how this got published in Shonen Jump, because it is one of the most, like, graphic, violent mangas I've ever read.
Wow.
And I mean that as a compliment, but, like, literally, like, there was... Chapter 59 is not available on the app. You have to go to Shonen Jump's website and confirm that you're 18 and up.
Wow.
Because there's, like, graphic sexual nudity.
Wow.
And like, it's great, so like, please proceed with caution. I would recommend it for 16 plus audience. I don't think we have anyone younger than that listening to us, but you know, it's
you
it's
never
worth
know
saying.
Yeah,
I remember awesome being 14 in the manga community and being like, I can handle it.
what's your last book to talk about this week?
My last book is Everyone in This Room Will Someday Be Dead, a novel by Emily Austin, named the kind-hearted heroine we all need right now by Courtney Maugham of the New York Times. This story follows the life of 20-something Gilda, and wait, no, Hilda, right?
Gilda, with
Hilda?
A G. Yeah.
Okay. I couldn't remember. I was like, doesn't Hilda have a weird spelling like that too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways. But it's with a G. This one's Gilda.
Okay. The life of 20-something Gilda, an animal-loving atheist lesbian who can't stop thinking about the definity of mortality. In an attempt to help herself, you know, feel some ease, she follows a flyer for free therapy to a local Catholic church where wires are crossed, and Father Jeff, the, you know, father of the church, thinks that she's there for an interview because they have a position for a receptionist, because the recent receptionist, Grace, has just died. And Gilda ends up taking the job because she's, like, too nervous to explain why she's really there. And then there's the emails, the ones that keep showing up in the church's inbox. And it's like a friend searching for Grace. And Gilda's convinced it must be some, like, frail old woman on the other end. So she begins replying as Grace. And then the police begin investigating the circumstances surrounding Grace's death. And Gilda's starting to realize she might just have to come out with everything.
That's so uncomfortable.
It's so funny, too, because we were, like, on my last shift, we were looking at this book, the cover of it, on the, like, a new book, like,
yes.
Yeah, and everyone was talking about how beautiful it looked, and they're like, oh, I wonder what it's about, blah, 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 and I'm just, like, so tickled now to be like, it's about awful things, guys.
It's about awful things. I don't, this is, like, a weird comparison to make, but, like, I love media in which you watch a protagonist make increasingly terrible decisions.
Yes.
Knowing that, like, the outcome is going to be bad. And this like, replying to emails pretending to be someone else feels like something that would happen in an episode of, like, Frasier or something. Yes. Like, I've been watching that with a friend of mine recently, and he's constantly in these positions of, like, I'm just going to make this little white lie, but I'm just going to dig that hole to the point that it's, like, detrimental.
It's great because, like, this book is definitely described as a dark comedy, which I think is perfectly accurate because it's hitting very much that dark comedy sitcom feeling.
Yeah,
Like, that's what you're, like, talking about, because it's very much like, oh, man, like, it's not like the trip on the banana peel and then, like, a chain of funny things happens. It's like, light the stove on fire, burn down family house, lose home insurance.
Yeah. I'm excited. This is exciting.
Yeah.
I should check this one out. Maybe I'll put this on my list.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be picking it up because I, like, you know the story behind my half sleeve, right? Of the cat skull?
I don't think I do.
So it's a cat skull with, like, moss and, like, different, like, bugs and stuff growing on it and, like, you know, using it and whatever. And it says in a circle around it, it's all just a cycle. And, like, I am deeply terrified of death, and I got it as, like, I don't know, a way to make it feel more beautiful contextually.
Sure.
And I think it helps, you know?
That's awesome.
Considering I can say it without vomiting. Something I could not have done years ago. Wow, that was lovely.
Sorry.
Thank you for that.
I was coughing.
You were? I had no clue.
I couldn't help it. I was trying to hold it back. What if we should... Sorry, there we go. There it is again. I, like, thought I was fine, and I wasn't fine. Oh my
God. Sorry.
You're fine. That's my bad. That was my bad that time. This will be a fun edit. I have just so much to cut out.
Yeah. You have to send it all to me, though. I need to put together a blooper thing.
No, bad.
What? No.
Maybe. Okay.
I need it. It doesn't. Maybe. You can't.
I'll do a raw cut and a raw unedited cut. I'm just going to put the whole thing together like this.
Okay, perfect.
And send it to you. I won't even edit it. I'm just going to, like, line it up.
Okay.
And then I'll cut the episode together.
Okay. That sounds perfect.
Okay.
What are you reading?
I am currently reading. I am going to finish today, probably. Rising Storm by Kevin Scott, the new High Republic book. It's the sequel to Light of the Jedi from Charles Soule that came out at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
It's so good. All of these Jedi characters have been so well established already. And I think they've done a really good job of, like, showing that each of these Jedi is struggling with what it means to, like, be a Jedi and, like, wrestling with what their place in the Order is and, like, this tension of expansion outward in the galaxy. The First book was about the lighting of Starlight Beacon, which was going to be the symbol of hope of the Republic moving out into the Outer Rim and, like, establishing security across a wider swath of the star system. This book is about the Republic Fair. We're going to, now that we've established ourselves in the Outer Rim, we are going to bring a bunch of people together to showcase all the different things that are happening in the galaxy, all the different inventions and things that people are putting together, how it's going to contribute to our continued expansion and stability. And wow. We're even going to bring in some leaders of species and kingdoms in the that aren't actually officially part of the Republic yet, and try to, like, woo them over to our side. But wow. There's still the looming threat of the villains from the first book, and things go very sideways very quickly.
Star Wars is just always like, what if we created the most rich, complicated universe as quickly as possible to stress your little brains out?
Yeah. I think they've done a really good job because, like, while they've introduced a bunch of new species that I hadn't known before, they also are doing an interesting thing. Like, this book has introduced the leader of the Togrutas, which is the kind of species that that Ahsoka comes from. Yeah. They aren't part of the Republic yet.
Wow,
that's at this point in
really
time.
Cool.
And they're okay, now you they, got me. They the leader, her name is the Ragasa. They call her the Huntress. She doesn't walk, she never wears shoes because she wants to maintain her connection to the ground and the earth.
That's hard.
And
wait, is she an adult?
Yeah, she's an adult. She's right, the she's hard. The leader of the yeah. And it's she's so cool. And they're, like, trying to bring her in to the fold and, like, set up good diplomatic relationships with the Togrutas, who will later, we know, be part of the Republic come the time of the actual Skywalker saga.
That is so sick.
So there's, like, little things like that that I'm really, really happy about. There's also this looming, like, threat that seems to be something to do with ancient force energies that I know nothing about. They have not introduced.
You're telling me too much about it.
Very little about it. There's very little detail here. I know a name of this device person, something frozen in ice that seems bad. Seems bad. I don't know what it is. It's called the Great Leveler.
That does seem bad. That's, like, not a very calming, soothing name.
No, but I know nothing about it except that the bad guy has it.
Oh.
That's all. That's yeah. So good. There you go.
Yeah.
Something bad's going to happen. I'm, like, something so close bad. To the end. I'm very, very afraid that, like, people are going to die and shit's going to go sideways.
Oh, isn't that always how it goes?
That's always how it goes. So I'm reading that, and then I'm going to pick up The Race to Crash Point Tower from Daniel Jose Older, which is also tied into the Republic Fair.
Uh-huh.
I think that one's following a couple of Padawans, but I don't actually know what their story is yet.
So you're going to pick that up next and not...
Yeah. And yeah. Not... Well, I have that on my shelf. I have Chainsaw Man subscribed in my Shonen Jump app.
And oh, yeah. Oh, my God, guys. By the way, if you are, like, just because we don't, like, we're not yet carrying these sorts of things, I do recommend checking out the Shonen Jump app.
It's only $2 a month.
Yeah, it's $2 a month. Like, we're not affiliated. We just, it's a good deal because, like, yeah. For us, like, we, David and I finished Chainsaw Man, and now we will buy the volumes to have because it's a good series.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wish that's great. I don't know if Shoujo Beat, do you remember that one?
I don't think so.
So Shoujo Beat for, I gotta look it up now to see if it's still around. For when we were young, well, when I was young, so of course when you were younger, but you're older than me. it was the publication that Viz Media put out that was, like, a monthly magazine like Shonen Jump, but it was of, like, shoujo manga for, like, basically, like, for girls, right? Like, it was, like a Vampire Knight and Oren High School Host Club and that sort of stuff. Mm. And it makes me sad that there's not an app equivalent of that. Like
there here's is, the, yeah.
Like, that I know of. So, I mean,
I if y'all know anything. It. Reach out to us.
Yeah, if y'all know what's up.
What are you reading right now?
I am currently reading Spy Family. It's written as Spy X Family through the Shonen Jump app. It's by Tatsuya Endo. It's currently up for an Eisner. And there's only 48 chapters out right now. So, like, it's pretty easy read to get through. But it's the one I was telling you about... It's about an assassin who is assigned, yeah, basically, hey, your new assignment requires you to have, like, a wife and kid so you can, like, get close to this, like, diplomat or whatever. And he's never even had a relationship before, so hijinks ensue. The two people that end up being his family are absolutely delightful. All of the characters are wonderfully fleshed out. It's really fun read. It has, like, that Mr. and Mrs. Smith feel, but, like, more exciting.
Okay.
Like, it's that concept, but, like, upgraded, right?
Yeah. That sounds fun.
Yeah. And then I'm also reading the first volume of The Demon Prince of Momochi House by Aya Shoto. This is older. I don't remember. It came out, oh gosh, yeah, in 2013. It's one of those staple series in, like, the romance manga world that I actually have not interacted with. And now that... Hello?
I'm still here.
Oh my gosh, sorry.
I was listening. I was just listening to you.
It's not... My computer, like disconnected for a second, and I was like, hello? Like, it was, like, internet trying.
Weird.
Anyways, this is, like, an old staple of the, like, romance manga genre, and I'm picking it up because I want to be able to, like, you know, recommend it to people if it's good, as everyone says it is. Which I think it will be. It seems like it has a lead that's very, like, handsome, but kind of, like, a little jerk.
Okay.
Similar to, like, an Inuyasha type. And he's, like, a little, like, demon dude, like, with, like, dog ears, so...
Amazing.
I'm hooked already.
That sounds rad.
Where can people find you?
People find me on the internet at, on Twitter at TheGaryRoby. You can find, other shows I do at DuelingGenre.com. New Republic Archives over there is my Star Wars podcast where we talk about, stuff from canon and from Legends, on and off every other week. And, I also do a show called... Infinite Cities Blazeball, which is a Blazeball podcast, which is about the game Blazeball from the game band, which is an absurdist horror fantasy baseball simulator. I think that's the easiest way to describe that.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah, so that's been very fun. I do that every week on Tuesdays. Those come out. We record them on Sundays after elections happen in game, so we get the results of the season, talking about what happened over the last week in the game, what events and new things we've discovered and what we're looking forward to in the upcoming weeks. So that's fun. I like doing that show a lot. So people should check that out if they have any interest in baseball.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do it.
Where can people find you?
You guys can find me on, I totally blanked. You can find me on Twitter and TikTok at Becca Bean, BEEAN. I've started doing book recommendations and, like, music recommendations on my TikTok, because I'm almost at 9,000 followers now.
That's incredible.
So come hang out, and I'll recommend you some books that will make you cry. And you can find me on Instagram at the same handle, just with an underscore at the end. I don't do any other shows yet, but I have some stuff in discussion.
Ooh.
So maybe I will tell you all about that soon.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Yes. Oh, and then the last thing I would like to do is give a shout out to our new patron.
Yeah.
Because I believe we only have one. Sorry. There we go. All right, so thank you so much. I'm just going to say thank you to Kenz again, because I'm not sure if I got you last time. I think I did.
I think you did too.
Yeah, but also thank you very much to Brett, who just joined the Movie Monster tier. We really appreciate it. And
thank you so much.
And for all of our patrons listening, your package will be arriving soon. With all of your clues for the event that we are about to put on for patrons.
Ooh.
So keep an eye on your mailbox.
I'm so curious as to, I don't know anything about this thing you're doing with the patrons right now.
No, I can tell you about it later.
Okay.
Yeah.
You don't want to like tease and
no,
other people to sign up?
It's a mystery based thing. So they have to come.
Sure.
Yeah.
That sounds fun. All right. Yeah. Thank you everyone for being here. Do you want me to wrap up? Do you want to wrap up?
Do you want to do the outro?
I can do the outro. Yeah. You can find us at both of our social media handles that we just shouted out. You can also find the show at Mist Galaxy Books on all social media platforms. I think it's, isn't it Mysterious Galaxy Books on Twitter or on TikTok though? I think it's the full.
Let me check.
I think it's the full name on TikTok. And I think it's Mist Galaxy Books everywhere else.
I'm checking. No, it's Mist Galaxy Books.
Oh, it is Mist. Okay, so it's the same everywhere. Cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's good to know. So Mist Galaxy Books on all social media. You can email us at mistgalaxypod@gmail.com if you want to send us any questions or have any suggestions for things you'd like to hear us talk about on the show. We did that mental health episode at the suggestion of a listener on Instagram. So reach out to us if there's stuff you want us to talk about.
Yeah, well, I was thinking that we might set up even one of those like Google Form things for folks
that could be
to
cool.
fill out.
Yeah.
Because then we can also like, you know, maybe shout out some of your favorite books or give them a look.
That could be fun. Yeah. Let's talk about that. And thank you, of course, to Austin Farmer for allowing us to use the intro and outro music cut from his track Kill the Farm Boy off his album Bookshelf Symphony Orchestra. You can find that on Spotify, which is always linked in the episode description of every episode. And we'll see you again soon in a galaxy not so far away.
Goodbye.